All right, welcome back to More Than a Rabbi, brought to you by Bible Answers, and I am your host, Al Garza. So today we're going to be discussing, the idea of Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, in rabbinic literature, of course, and in Christian texts of the New Testament. And we're going to be looking at today, we're going to be discussing the birth of the Messiah. That's as foretold in the New Testament. And looking back into the Hebrew Scriptures, do we have evidence for how the Messiah would be born, and how he was born in the first century in regards to Yeshua Jesus, or are they contradictory teachings regarding how the Hebrew Scriptures are read to confirm the New Testament birth of the Messiah, Yeshua Jesus? This is interesting because, you know, we get a lot of questions on this. We do, believe it or not, get concerns and questions regarding how Christians twist the Scriptures or twist the Hebrew Scriptures to fit the Yeshua Jesus scenario of how he was born regarding the virgin birth or in Bethlehem and the star, the star in the sky and the magi's who came. So, you know, the question is do we have any Jewish sources or any rabbinic commentaries on these issues that we need to talk about regarding how the Messiah would be born in their understanding, even after Yeshua Jesus, what we find in the Talmud or the Midrash or other writings regarding the Messiah? I mean, we got to see this and say, is this Christian made up theology? Is the New Testament making up stories regarding how the Messiah would be born? So we need to kind of look at that today. And so what we're going to do, or what I'm going to do, is basically attempt to try and link the New Testament text into the Hebrew Scriptures and see, does it fit? And do we have rabbinic or Jewish sources to support it? Because, I mean, that's the argument. I've heard of rabbis out there, Rabbi Tovia Singer and others, try and say how the New Testament writers, which they reject Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as being the writers, but how those writers in the Greek, twisted the Hebrew Scriptures and even within the Septuagint and so forth. So we need to kind of go back and say, is that true? I mean, do we have no Jewish sources, no rabbinic commentaries that kind of lay weight to the New Testament or give confirmation? So let's take a look at that now and see, looking at some of these passages. Now, one of the passages that comes into question, of course, is I believe Matthew, and I'm going to point to this, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth the son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And again, this is to what the prophet said in Isaiah 7, verse 7:14 in the English translation. And so what we see here is normally we get the argument, of course, is the word for virgin, which, you know, some Jews will say, or some rabbis, modern rabbis today will say that the word there regarding Alma, which refers to a young maiden, is not translated as virgin, which would have been Betula in Hebrew. So we have Alma in Hebrew or Betula. So they like to point this out, which is interesting to me because I don't understand where they get this argument from that Alma and Betula are not synonymous with one another and both referring to, of course, Betula referring to an actual virgin and Alma being a young maiden who is a virgin. Now, you know, I like to give them the benefit of the doubt, but either this is just pure ignorance or intellectual dishonesty, and that's my opinion, because I know these Jews, these rabbis, even though they reject Yeshua Jesus as the Messiah, I don't see how they can make this case. This is a weak case to say that Alma does not mean or can refer to a virgin. It's amazing to me. I mean, Alma is used in the Hebrew Scriptures about 7 times. And each time it's used outside of Isaiah 7, it is referring to a virgin. In fact, one of their well-known rabbinic rabbis, a leading rabbi, the Rambam, in a commentary in Song of Solomon, refers to the Almas there, the women, the maidens there, the Almas, as virgins. So, you know, for me, it's how could you, when you have a very well-known rabbinic leader in his commentary refer to Alma, the women in Song of Songs, as virgins. He confirms that Alma can mean virgin in his commentary. How do you then turn around and say it cannot mean virgin and then reject Isaiah 7 as meaning a virgin? It's amazing to me. I mean, we have texts of in Genesis, you know, where we have, you know, the use for Rebecca. Rebecca's called an Alma and a Betula in Genesis 24. So in 24, yeah, verse 24, in verses 43 and 16, where she's referred to both as an Alma and a Betula, and she's a virgin. So I think that's probably one of the weakest arguments I've ever heard regarding this. Now, we have also another rabbinic, another Jewish commentary on this, a Jewish source, I would say, where we read from a Jewish source called Sefer Yeshua Ot Mashiacho, part 2, 3-3. Where we read, God said to Israel, "You have said to me, we have become orphans without a father," referring to the Hebrew scriptures. "Therefore, the Redeemer I will bring from among you has no father, for it is said, today I have begotten you." And concludes from this that their Messiah has no human father. So, you know, another Jewish source regarding this, which they call him a convert, refers to God speaking to Israel as becoming orphans without a father, and uses what we call the Ramez, which is the hinting of the Messiah within the text, and we call the Pardes, the Jewish hermeneutic. The Ramez there is that the Messiah will have no human father. And so this was a Jewish source, along with Isaiah using Ramez, that the Messiah is being put forth there and recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. So, in here's an interesting thing. I'm going to throw out a little nugget for you. I know some scholars don't like the idea of the pictographs of the Hebrew and how they're used, but I want to put something out there just for a little nugget for you. In Isaiah 7, you have where it says, you know, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Of course, the Hebrew word there for sign is ot, and it's three letters in the Hebrew: the aleph, the vav, and the tav. And it's recorded sometimes in Hebrew as being a miraculous sign, something, you know, a sign that's, you know, something great that's going to happen. So the sign there, Ot, is spelled Aleph Vav Tav. Now, in the pictograph forms this, well, even in the letters himself, Aleph represents God a number of times in rabbinic Jewish literature in the letters. The Vav in Hebrew means Vav, which is the second letter, means a nail or a peg. And of course, the Tav, the last letter, means sign or covenant, and it's a picture of a cross. So what you have in the Ot is God, nail, and cross, which is also God, nails, and covenant combined together to bring the word Ot in Hebrew, which is sign, a miraculous sign. So what's interesting is, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign, a God covenant that is nailed, a nailed covenant, something that is there. And it's in the last letter, the Tav in ancient Hebrew, the picture was that of a cross. So that's fascinating that within this text, you have the Lord himself will give you a sign, which has God, nail, and cross, which is a covenant with a nail, something that's pegged in as given by God, as the passage says, the Lord himself. And you have the virgin being born, the Alma, the young maiden who will be chosen of God. So this passage alone is greatly can be confirmed as a messianic passage in the Ramez form of the Pardes, the Jewish hermeneutic principle. And we do have some Jewish sources for that. Now, what's interesting is that when you get further down to Isaiah 9, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. This is also used in the scriptures to identify the Messiah. And it's interesting because, you know, I've had Jewish rabbis, modern, reject this as being messianic. And I don't know why, because there are a number of Jewish sources by their own sages that confirm that this is speaking of the Messiah. These are what they refer to as the seven names of the Messiah. And so I can't understand why they would why they would reject this as being messianic. And I think they reject it because, of course, the New Testament and confirming, you know, the Christians confirming this passage as being about Yeshua Jesus. And they can reject, that's fine. They can reject that Yeshua Jesus is not the Messiah, but don't reject the passage as being messianic because they use it. I mean, it's amazing to me because we have a number of places where, you know, this is referred to as the seven names of the Messiah. In fact, the Rambam, Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, comments in the Talmud. This is in the Talmud, in this Talmud passage. He says, "This is a strange text, yet as I have derived into it, I have seen that it confirms many things. Thus, you will find that the sages of blessed memory always explain that the scripture texts that are said with reference to Hezekiah applied to the future with regard to these scriptural texts by the sages also employ the expression, 'The Holy One, blessed be He, shall at a future time,' they also said. Rabbi Yosef HaGalili says that the name of the Messiah will also be peace, for it is said, 'Aviad, Sar Shalom, Everlasting Father, Ruler of Peace.' The condition for Hezekiah was voided, and all those rewards and consolations remained for King Messiah, who will arise from the descendants," referring to Hezekiah. This is by the Rambam, the Book of Redemption. So, again, by one of their most leading authoritative rabbis, and one of the sages, confirms that Isaiah 9 is referring to the Messiah, not Hezekiah. And this is speaking of a future birth. So, you know, we see this, and we don't, I can't imagine how we can sit here and reject these messianic texts that are supported by the rabbis, the sages of old, and the New Testament confirms them as being toward Yeshua, Jesus himself. In fact, I'm going to go a step further in another well-documented rabbinic text regarding the Messiah and his birth. And another text, even within the Zohar itself, which, you know, Christians and other, you know, non-Jews don't accept, but of course within Judaism the Zohar is read and looked at. Speaking of course, you know, his birth and where he'd be born. You know, in the Talmud itself, it happened, you know, regarding how a certain Jew had an issue with one of his oxen who was crying out. He was tied up and cried out, and the Jew told him that the King Messiah is born and that you need to unbind him or cause him to not be in pain. And he says, "The King Messiah is born." He said, and the gentleman said, "What is his name?" And of course he says, "The Comforter." That's one of the names of Messiah. And then he asks, "From whence is he, or where is he from?" And he replies, "From the palace of the King of Bethlehem, Judah." So this was also confirmed in Jewish source that he would be born in Bethlehem of Judah. Bethlehem of Judah. So this is confirmed again in Matthew chapter 2. Again, verses, you can just read verse 1, that Bethlehem of Judah, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, as by the rabbis. So this story is confirmed that believe that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem of Judea, of Judah, sorry. So we need to understand that, you know, this is also regarding the star, you know, in the east. Another Jewish source, and looking into the Zohar as well, and the sources, "The King Messiah shall be revealed in the land of Galilee, and lo, a star in the east shall swallow up seven stars in the north, and a flame of red fire shall be in the firmament 6 days." Now, this is told in the Zohar in the Genesis Folio 74:3. So, you know, and the other one, another one in the Zohar says, "When the Messiah shall be revealed, there shall rise up in the east a certain star flaming with all sorts of colors, and all men shall see it." And again, this is referring to the Messiah in the Zohar. So for the idea of the Messiah being born and the star in the sky being a sign is not made up by Greeks or Christians. This is a Jewish source using the Zohar, the Talmud, other rabbinic sources, rabbinic commentaries by the Rambam. We are not making this up. Believers in Yeshua Jesus do not make up these things. The birth of the Messiah was understood and foretold, you know, in the New Testament scriptures, which are authoritative in themselves, even if we call them a translation of Greek in other languages, they affirm what the sages already stated. And we apply this to Yeshua Jesus, who was to be born. Now, looking even at Daniel 9, referring to the Messiah, the Messiah, the prince who was to come, he was to be born, and included even a number of the sages, he was to be born before the second temple was destroyed, because that's what Daniel 9 states. The Messiah would be born and killed before the second temple was destroyed. And so either the Messiah was born before the second temple was destroyed, which is the first century, or there is no future Messiah, and they're waiting in vain. So we can go back and forth on this, and you know, much of these, and I have a dozen, or I have numerous quotes by sages, by rabbis and sages of old regarding these topics in my book, which will be out next year during the summertime. And my book is called, of course, More Than a Rabbi, and I deal with this in one of my sections of my book about the Messiah's birth, as foretold in the Hebrew Scriptures, confirmed by the sages, and fulfilled in the New Testament itself by the apostles referring back to these prophecies, using, of course, the Jewish understanding of pardes, which is a Jewish hermeneutic to interpret the Hebrew Scriptures, and remez is referring to messianic hints in certain texts. So when we look at this, we've got to really understand that this is not something that's made up. This is not something that's created by Christians. These are clear teachings within the Hebrew Scriptures, the sages themselves, and fulfilled the New Testament, as I stated, referring to Yeshua Jesus of the first century. Or else there is no future Messiah, because the second temple was destroyed and the Messiah was not born, if you really want to go that route. And for whatever reason, it doesn't fit anymore. So we really have to be, honest with ourselves regarding these texts. These are not made-up texts. Now, there are other texts we could talk about. And again, I want to make sure that this is understood, because even with the Bethlehem text, I looked at Rashi, who is another Rashi, a commentary on Micah 5, and he refers to Messiah as, and his origins is from old, before the sun, his name is Yenon. And this is from Rashi himself, and this is reference to the Messiah. So again, referring to him, the Messiah being born in Bethlehem, and of course being named Yenon, which that is a name for what the Messiah is, Yenon. And of course, this is something that they look at the word Yenon in Hebrew in the text, and if you play with the words, it actually spells out the name of God, Yod He Vav He, by replacing the nuns with the vavs, and it becomes a hidden name within of the Messiah, Yenon, being hidden for the very name, Yod He Vav He. And I have that in my book, and the Jewish source for that, the commentary. This is not being made up. So we have the Midrash, we have the Talmud, we have the sages speaking on this, and again, Bethlehem would be the source. And again, we are not looking at this any other way, other than how the texts are being read. So again, I can go on and on with these Jewish sources. I have them in front of me. There's just too many to go through, but again, they will be in my book regarding this. Another passage by a Jewish commentary, but you, Bethlehem, bring small among the clans of Judah. We talked about that, Micah 5, and what will come forth to me, that is the ruler of Israel, whose going forth are from old. And of course, the phrase from days of old refers to 6 days of creation. This is referred to the Talmud, that the seven things were created before the world was created. And this is the Torah, repentance, the Garden of Eden, Gehenna, the throne of glory, the temple, and the name of the Messiah. So the name of the Messiah, which we're going to talk about also, the name of the Messiah as it is from the beginning, you place of our sanctuary, the name of the Messiah as it is written, his name shall endure forever and has existed before the sun. So even the name of the Messiah, part of the 6 days of creation, is confirmed from of old. And the spirit of Messiah, the Jews say, is what was hovering over the face of the deep. So the existence, the pre-existence of the Messiah being born, how he'd be born, where, is fulfilled in the New Testament. Now, again, You can reject it, but it's there. We have these texts. It's in the rabbinic sages themselves, the rabbis. It is in the Hebrew scriptures being interpreted that way, commentaries. So there should be no real misunderstanding of where this comes from. But again, you know, in future podcasts, I'm going to be talking about the very existence of the Messiah in the Old Testament as the Word, which is a name for the Messiah, according to the rabbis and the Jews. So the Word, which appears in John 1:1, it has its foundation in the Hebrew scriptures, going back to Genesis, Bereshit, from Genesis 1:1 all the way through to who Abraham saw and met in Genesis 15 as the Word of the Lord. So we're going to talk about that, and I believe in my next podcast, which is regarding the preexistence of the Messiah as the eternal Word. We're going to look at John 1:1 from Greek and also from the Hebrew text. And you're going to be amazed to see this connection within the Hebrew scriptures and even in the Targum, the Aramaic text, of how the Word is personified as being God himself and being the very person of God in nature. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast and got something out of it. If you really did enjoy it, please like and share it. Definitely leave a comment if you have one. You can go to my website, drlgarza.org, if you want to know more about me and future podcasts and see a lot of my other books that I've written regarding on these topics. But this is from my book coming out next year, More Than a Rabbi. And I want to thank you all for listening. And please like and subscribe and share. And again, stay tuned for future broadcasts of More Than a Rabbi, brought to you by Bible Answers. Thank you and God bless. Have a great day.